I want you to turn to two scriptures today, I want you to look them up. I want you to follow along with me today. Now, you may be at home and may not have your regular Bible handy, but just get on your phone, get on whatever you can get on, a tablet or something, and look up these scriptures. The first one I want you to look up is Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, and put a marker there. We're going to get to that one in just a few minutes. And then also flip over to John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, and we're going to read that one right now. So John 1, 9 through 14, and Hebrews 10 for just a few minutes from now. The message today is called, He Came to Us. He Came to Us. And in John 1, 9 through 14, it describes this. And I just want to read that to you right now. John 1, 9 through 14 says, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion and plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." So today I want to give you three reasons why he came to us. Three, you know, did you ever ask yourself that question? Why did God come to us? Why did he send his son to us? And there are many reasons, but I just want to focus in on three reasons today why he came to us. The first reason he came to us is because we couldn't go to him. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. The reason he came to us, the most important reason, is because we couldn't go to him. God wanted to have a daily relationship with us, with his creation. He wanted to commune with us on a regular basis, but we couldn't do that because there was a veil that stood between a holy God and sinful people. And because this veil stood between us, we couldn't get to him. The word veil in Hebrew means a screen or divider or separator that hides. Essentially, it was shielding a holy God from sinful man. Whoever entered into the Holy of Holies was entering into the very presence of God. So, in fact, anyone except the high priest who entered the Holy of Holies would die. If you were not the high priest and you entered in the Holy of Holies, you would die. Even the high priest, God's chosen mediator for his people, could only pass through the veil and enter into the Holy of Holies, the sacred dwelling place, once a year. And that day was called the Day of Atonement. In Hebrews chapter 9, we see where it says, "But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins that the people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use." So in other words, the priest could only enter once a year and offer atonement for sins by the shedding of blood of animals for the sins of himself and for the sins of God's people, and he could only do it once a year. But no one else could enter that holy place. No one else could enter into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, as long as the tabernacle, the system that it represented, was still in place. If you read it in the complete Jewish version, the Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "By this arrangement, the Ruach HaKodesh showed that so long as the first tent was standing, the way into the holiest place was still closed." So as long as the first tent, as long as the first covenant was in place, there was no way for us to get to God into the Holy of Holies and into his presence. There was no way that we could enter into the presence of God. The holiest place was closed to us. So he came to us. Because we couldn't go to him, he came to us. Matthew 27, 50 and 51 says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks split." So Jesus, when he completed his mission here on earth, the veil that stood between us and the Holy of Holies was torn in two. No longer was there a divider or separator for us to get to God. Now we could get to him because he came to us. That's so good news, isn't it? It's such good news that now we can enter into the Holy of Holies, just like we just did here in worship. We stepped into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God, because Jesus came to us. The second reason why he came to us is because we couldn't give enough. We couldn't get to him, so he made a way for us to get to him. But we couldn't give enough. It's Hebrews chapter 10, the scripture I told you to save. I want you to go there now, and let's look at verses 1 through 4. It says, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves, but the good things to come. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide a perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So let me stop there for a moment and say this. Not only could we not get to God, but we couldn't give enough to take away our own sins. There was no way. Under the old system, they would offer sacrifices over and over and over again, but it was never enough to take away the guilt and shame of our sins. The old covenant, the old sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats would only cover up the sin. But when Jesus came, he didn't just cover up the sin with his very blood, he took it completely away. The difference between what was happening in the old covenant and the new covenant is it was just a covering up of sin, and then it was a taking away of sin when Jesus came. We couldn't do enough. We could sacrifice over and over and over again, day after day, but it was never enough to take the sin away. It was still lingering under the covering. It was still a stench coming out from the covering. We still had guilt, and we still had shame, and we still had all of those things. But when Jesus came, he took the sin away. He didn't just cover it up. He wrapped it up in his blood, and he took it away. We say this all the time. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are remembered no more. Our sins are forever gone. And if you are out there today and you are still under guilt and shame of sin that you have repented of, then you're still living under the old covenant. You don't understand, you don't fully understand that the blood of Jesus is a complete, perfect sacrifice that takes your sin away. If you have repented of the sin that you committed, then your sin is no longer there. That's a lie from the enemy trying to stir up the old covenant and not allow you to live under the new covenant. Amen. That's good. You need to understand that if there's guilt and shame, that does not come from God. Guilt and shame does not come from him. If you have repented of that sin, then that sin is no longer there. And what the enemy would want to do is to come in and to deceive us and make us think that our sin is still there, make us think that it's only covered up. What he's trying to do is minimize the sacrifice of the perfect blood of Jesus. But his blood was perfect, and his blood is complete. And when he came to us, he paid it all. What we couldn't do with sacrifices day after day, Jesus did once for all. That's why he came to us. Let's continue on in verse 5. Verse 5 says, that is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings and other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in scriptures. First, Christ said you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he said, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the high place of honor at God's right hand. There he awaits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his own feet. But for by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Hallelujah. Jesus came to us because we couldn't give enough. We couldn't do enough, so he came to us. And the third reason why he came to us is we couldn't find our way. We couldn't find our way. Not only could we not give enough, not only could we not go to him, but we couldn't find our way. We were lost. Think about it. We couldn't get to him. We couldn't give enough. So we were lost. We were wandering aimlessly without a way to get out of the mess that we were in. And everything that we did, everything that we tried to get out of the mess that we were in, just never seemed to be enough. We just couldn't get to God. We couldn't give enough. And I wonder how many of you out there today still feel that way. I wonder how many of you that are watching this right now, you still feel like, I just, whatever I do, no matter how much I do, it just never seems to be enough. No matter how hard I try, it just never seems to be enough. I can never find my way to peace. I can never find my way out of the mess that I'm in. It seems like everything I do, I'm right back where I started from. And if you feel that way, then you're listening to the deceiving lies of the enemy. Jesus wants you to see that you've been set free. He wants you to see that when you accepted the sacrifice that he made, when you vowed in your heart to make him Lord of your life and to follow the one true way, then he sets you free from that old system. He sets you free from that old covenant. He sets you free from that old mindset. Now you have the mind of Christ and you no longer have to live under shame and disappointment and guilt and condemnation. Now you are free and now he never remembers your sins. When you repent of those sins, they're forever gone. But you feel like, I just can't find my way. I'm just lost. I can't find my way. So he came to us. He came to us to show us the way. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. That's what he came to do. He came to us to save us and to show us the way. You know, there once was a man who didn't believe in God. And he didn't hesitate to let others know how he felt about religion. His wife, however, did believe. And she also raised their children to believe and to have faith in Jesus. And she did this no matter what was going on around her. She did this despite his disparaging comments that he would make to her. And they lived like this for quite a while. And then on one snowy Christmas Eve, his wife was taking their children to a Christmas Eve service in the farm community which they lived in. And she asked him to come with her, but he refused. He said, that story is nonsense. He said, why would God lower himself to come to earth as a man? That's ridiculous. I don't believe it. It's too far-fetched. And so she gathered up the children and she left and went to the Christmas Eve service without him, and he stayed home. And a while later, the winds grew stronger and the snow turned into a blizzard. And as the man looked out the window, all he could see was a blinding snowstorm. And so he sat down to relax before the fire for the evening. Then he heard a loud thump, and then another, and then another. Something was hitting his window, and he didn't know what it was. And he looked out to see what he could see, but all he could see was the snowstorm. It was a blizzard, and it was just swirling around, and he could only see a few feet. And a little while later, the snowstorm started to let up just a little bit, and so he walked outside to see what was happening and who had been beating on his window. And in the field near his house, he saw a flock of geese flying around. Apparently, they had been flying south for the winter, and they got caught up in the snowstorm, and they couldn't go on. And they were lost and stranded on his farm, and with no food or shelter, they just flapped their wings and flied around and around in circles, not knowing where to go. They were blind. They were flapping around and flying around aimlessly. And a couple of them had even flown into his window and made those thumps that he had heard earlier. The man felt sorry for the geese, and he wanted to help them. And he thought to himself, man, the barn would be a great place for them to go. If I could just get them into the barn, that would be a great place. And so he says, it's warm, it's safe, it's secure. They could spend the night there, and then when the snowstorm let up in the morning, they could fly south for the winter. So he walked over to the barn, and he opened the doors wide. And then he watched and waited, hoping that they would notice the barn and go inside. But the geese didn't notice. They just fluttered around aimlessly, didn't seem to notice the barn or even realize what that could mean for them. The man tried to get their attention, but that didn't seem to help. It just seemed to scare them. And they moved further away. He went into the house and came out with some bread, and he laid a breadcrumb trail into the barn. But that didn't work. They didn't follow it. They didn't catch on. Now he was getting frustrated, and he got behind them and tried to shoo them toward the barn, but that scared them even more, and they scattered even farther away from the barn. Nothing seemed to work. Nothing he could do seemed to work and get them to realize that there was warmth and safety inside the barn. He said, why don't they follow me? Can't they see that this is the only place that they can survive? If they stay out here in this snowstorm, they will die. Why won't they follow me? He thought for a moment. He realized, they're not going to follow a human. If only I were a goose, then I could save them. So he had this idea. He went into his barn, and he got one of his own geese, and he carried it in his arms out in the snowstorm past the flock. Then he got behind the flock of wild geese, and he released his goose, and his goose flew through the flock straight into the barn. And one by one, the wild geese followed his goose into the barn to safety. He stood there silently for several moments as the words that he had just spoken a few minutes earlier were having an impact on him. If only I were a goose, then I could save them. Then he thought about what he had said to his wife earlier and what he had been saying for years. Why would God want to be like us? That's ridiculous. Suddenly it all made sense to him. That's what God had done. We were like the geese, blind, lost, perishing, wandering aimlessly in the cold with no place to go and no understanding of where safety could be. So God sent his son to become like us so that he could show us the way and save us. That's what the meaning of the birth of Christ is. That's why Jesus came as a baby in a manger, so that he could lead us to salvation, so that he could do the one thing that no human being could do, so that he could sacrifice his life for his own creation. After this man realized this, years of doubt and disbelief vanished like the passing storm. He fell to his knees in the middle of the snow, and he prayed his first prayer. He said, thank you, God, for coming in human form to get me out of the storm. Aren't you thankful for that today? He came because we couldn't find our way. Would you just close your eyes and pray with me today? Father, thank you for coming to us. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that you did what we could not do. Thank you, Jesus, for sacrificing for us. Thank you, Jesus, for pouring out your blood so that we can be free. We honor you today, Jesus. We glorify your name. Oh, he's so good. I want to pray one more prayer. I want to pray for certain people in particular. But before I do, I want to say this. When I get finished praying today, don't turn off live stream. When I'm finished praying, Danielle's going to come back out, our host, and she's going to give you some very important information about next week's service that you need to know. So please stay on for just a couple of more minutes and listen to what she has to say. But before she comes, I just want to pray for those of you who may have been wandering aimlessly. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you thought, like this man in the story, that it was foolishness. Why would God come to us in human form? So you couldn't understand this and it didn't make sense to you. Or maybe you understood that and you knew that he came for you, but you just have trouble accepting the sacrifice that he made for you. And you continue to try to do good. You continue to try to be good enough. You continue to try to sacrifice enough to earn his honor, to earn his respect of you, to earn the right to be his son or daughter. But you don't have to do anything to earn your right to be his son or daughter. All you have to do is accept the free sacrifice that he made for you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to serve you. I want to make you Lord of my life. That's all you have to do. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you'll just close your eyes with me, everybody that's watching today, everybody in this auditorium today, just close your eyes with me. And if you fall into one of those categories, I just want to pray for you. Father, first I pray for those who have never accepted you as their Savior. Father, I thank you for drawing them to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for having an impact on their heart today by the power of your word. And Jesus, as they invite you into their hearts today, I thank you that you come in, you make your home in them, you dwell inside of them, and you bring light to them. Father, do what only you can do. Make their heart your tabernacle today. If that's you, just say, Jesus, I receive you. Just say, Jesus, I invite you in. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. And if you just do that, if you just say those simple words and mean it in your heart, you will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in the group that you're just wandering aimlessly, you've accepted Christ, but you, for whatever reason, you just feel like I just continually strive to be good enough. I just want to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you break off every lie of the enemy that they have believed. Whew, Holy Spirit, thank you. I feel it right now. I feel so many receiving freedom from this right now. Father, break off every lie of the enemy that they have believed in the name of Jesus and replace it with your truth that they could never be good enough. So that's why you sent your son, Jesus. And just by receiving him, we have become perfect in your eyes. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've made us holy only by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. And Father, I pray that they would accept that, receive it, believe in it every day of their lives for the rest of their lives in Jesus' name. Amen.